on the line here. Lee looking for the first points of the afternoon. Here's Ryan Brearley. Miss out ball here. Given now for Sam Barlow. Offloads out the back for Ridyard. Ridyard scampering forward. Jinx tries to get through, but Ellis closes the door. 5 yards away, right in front of the post. Lee fans up that end of the ground. I've got a good view of this one. Here they are now. Penkovic spins it out the back for Brearley. Brearley out the back. Chance here, surely in the corner. And Liam Kay will stroll in. The Featherstone defence got sucked in, and Lee move it out wide quickly, and Lee have the first points of the afternoon. Featherstone Rovers 0, the Lee Centurions 4.
Yeah, just got the numbers in, and a great offload by Barlow, wasn't it? Just round the corner, and then once they'd done that, the Featherstone defence was always one man down, and they got sucked in. Eventually it paid on. Tom Johnson 2-on-1 decided to come in on the centre. They got the pass out the back to the winger, and Kay, as he does on a regular basis, scores tries for fun. And easy job that time of plonking the ball down in the corner.
Fier down the middle is the big fella Bostock. There could be a way here. He's got the man on his outside. He tried to go himself. He's dragged down 20 metres away. Bostock, a real big lad, and a handful for the Lee side. Here there comes Irwin. Miss out pass. Chance here for Featherstone. They're going to score. Nathan Chappell crashes over. The big fella's stadium erupts. And it's 4 points apiece. Rovers right back in this one.
Yeah, put that down to Bostock, who I thought was Rovers' best man a couple of weeks ago against the Bulls. Came off the bench and he made an impression. And as a coach, that's what you want from your substitutes. Go on and make an impact into the game. Bostock's come on there. First touch of the ball. Bounced a couple of Lee's forwards out the way. Running down the hill. He's old-fashioned shaped prop, isn't he? A little bit autumnal, shall we say. And he just barged through a couple of attempted tackles, realised he didn't have the pace to go any further, but he didn't panic either, and he just hit the floor, played the ball quickly, and then they had the numbers. First time they've actually run the right lines on the right hand side, the Featherstone edge, and Chappell run a great unders line back against the grain, and he was too big, too strong, plonks the ball down about 10 metres to the right of the post as we look at him, and Paul Sykes probably will put Featherstone in front.
And the ball going to be taken forward now. Here they come. Are they going to kick it? No, short pass for Moy Moy, who tries to break through, and he's away. Over halfway now, he's running at the full-back sharp. What a tackle. Is that Sykes who's chopped him down? And I think he's lost it, the big fella. What a shot from Paul Sykes. He took him clean off his feet.
Yeah, it was great play by Sykes. I think Will Sharp had a hand in it too. Both of them just hit him right at the same time, and the big guy who again has been really strong, great bust from him, just tried to outpower Sykes, who's a big guy himself, played a lot of his rugby at fullback as well, hasn't he, Sykes, and just stood his ground, and it was a big collision, and Fufu Moy Moy comes up with the error, and that'll probably see us to half time. Great first half though, Mike.
Here's Marginet, good blind pass, gets it out the back. Chance here, they're in! No, knock-on, says the referee. Jai Hitchcox has lost it. And that will be the turnover. It was actually in the corner. We can't see that corner of the ground. But he got over the line, and a knock-on given. And not too many complaints, it seems, from the Featherstone players.
No, we'll have to take your word for it, as you said, because we can't see, can we? And, you know, as you said, probably the first decision the referees made that nobody's appealed again, so you'd probably say it was a knock-on. Definitely was a knock-on, obviously, and Lee escaped. But you know, Featherstone asking all the right questions. If I'm going to be super critical of Featherstone, they seem to be targeting everything down their left channel where Paul Sykes is, and very little's going to the right. Strange thing, when the only chance they've gone down the right, they've scored a try. 40-20 attempt from Lee.
Kicked early here, and that's well played. Tom Johnson, oh, he's lost it, and it's going to be play on, and Featherstone will concede here. Underneath the post, Armstrong scores a try, and that will be the lead for the visitors. They lead by 8-6. It was an opportunist try. They went for the 40-20. The back three weren't back, and Lee score under the sticks.
Yeah, we said, didn't we, that Featherstone's back three are going to have to communicate, and are going to have to do really well in this second half, because we've talked about the quality that Lee have in their halfbacks, and it was there. Ridyard that time, who just dropped the ball onto his boot, massive boot downfield. It was a foot race between Johnson and Kay. Johnson, under all sorts of pressure, did everything right, dived down onto the ball. Unfortunately for him, it just popped out the other side, and once it's done that, Lee were always favourite to score. Armstrong picked it up, Sharp got back and tried his best, valiant effort, but unfortunately for the Rovers, he wasn't good enough, and Armstrong was big and strong, and he got the ball over the line and puts them back in front.
I'm just a little bit, Will Sharp is in the line, organising the line, any kick over the top and they're dead in the water, and they've just gone straight past him. Ridyard sidestep Sharp, the tackle comes in, but it's too late. No, it's not, he's been held up over the line. That is a sensational tackle from Featherstone. How on earth they've stopped Ridyard scoring from there? But I've just got a question, where Sharp is in the defensive line, why is he in the line all the time?
Yeah, he's once the line's broken, it's very difficult for Featherstone to react, isn't it?
20 metres out, they'll start here, Lee. Ball popped up, they're coming short side for Golden, who strolled through, and not a hand laid on him. He salutes the Lee fans behind the post, and that could be the game breaker. Only 13 gone, second half, but Lee extend their lead. It's Featherstone 6, Lee 14.
Yeah, great play by the halfbacks again. You know, I can't credit them enough and see how impressed I have been with them. They've been really solid today. And that time, Ridyard had scored previously, he thought, but this time he was the creator and he just drifted across, waited for Goulding to run the line he wanted and just produced the pass. Perfectly weighted, perfectly timed, Goulding into the hole. And again, once he's in the hole, there's nobody behind the line for Featherstone, so it's just a run-in from 15, 20 metres. Goulding scores and it's a big, big ask to Featherstone now to get back into this game.
Here now is Bezic, fires the pass to Emmett, who's trying the old spin to get over the line. He's not going to get over from there. And Featherstone now, that this is the game for them. If they concede here, they're done and dusted. Ball fired out wide on the far side. McNally into the line. Chance for Armstrong. Second try, is it? No, he's held up on the line. More heroic Featherstone defence. Last one, can they hang on? No, it's a dummy and goal. And the try is scored. And that could be it. Lee Centurions have got their fourth try of the afternoon. A dive over from close range. Not too sure who it was.
I think it was Haggerty. I think it was Haggerty. Not 100% sure, but it's a soft try to give away. Featherstone had done all the hard work, haven't they? Back-to-back sets, they'd kept them out. Then a dummy on the last player from the back rower. Everybody shot out on the kicker and he dives over from dummy half. And Andy Hale be saying, oh, you did everything right, but just went to sleep when it really mattered. And I'm with you, that's the ball game.
And it's Featherstone behind, and they might be about to go further behind. Ball dumped out the back for Armstrong. He's in this time. They won't stop him. Second try for Tom Armstrong. They just had the numbers on that far side. And that is it. Featherstone 6, Lee Centurions 26.
Yeah, just jumped out the line there, did Chappell, and he gave his winger absolutely no chance of stopping the threat down that left-hand edge, and it was good play again. You know, Penkovic just on really quick out of dummy half, he made the initial break up the middle, and then two passes later, Lee are very, very good at finding the weak spot on the opposition's defensive line, and Chappell jumped the line. Once he'd done that, they're in all sorts of problems down that edge, and Armstrong is big and he's strong and he's athletic, and he dived in the air, got the ball down, and if there was any doubt, there isn't now.
Here's Moy Moy down the middle. It could be another score here. Offloads it now, looking for Golden. Ball back on the inside. Is it going to be a try for Ryan Brearley? No, he jinks and gives it out to Platt. Very unselfish, but that is what Lee Centurions can do. Running down this hill, pace, strength, power, and no shortage of skill. It's another try, the 6th of the afternoon for the Lee Centurions. They lead by 30 points to 6.
And we'll watch the highlights of the Super League shows on the relevant TV stations over the next couple of days and see the roundup and the good bits and the bad bits. But you'll go a long way to see a better try than that, Mark, wasn't it? Great play. Penkovic out of dummy half, drew in the markers. Little slip ball to Moy, Fifi Moy Moy going down the hill. He just blasted into the hold, drew the pass, got it away to the back rower who was supporting Goulding. He knew he didn't have the pace, but he popped the ball out the back to his scrum half, Brearley, who didn't panic, just drifted across, waited for the right moment to hit the pass to Michael Platt, and from 10 metres out, he dives over. Really quality rugby league, that try from the Lee Centurions.
Here's Penkovic, fires a pass out on the far side, they're trying to get over, and they have got over. It's the wingman on the far side, it's Liam Kay that's got over. Now there's a big discussion, they're going to give the try. They do give the try. Second of the afternoon for Liam Kay, and Featherstone 6, Lee Centurions 36.
Yeah, just a clever player from Penkovic, realised that Kay was on full pelt, running down the hill. Johnson stood still on the line, really difficult tackle to make, stood on your own goal line, you know, with him, all the momentum going the Leeds player. Johnson did his best, but unfortunately not good enough, another try conceded.
15 away, middle of the park. Sykes trying to get involved, comes his side, gets the ball, it's intercepted, and Ryan Brearley, they'll do well to catch him going down the hill. Ryan Brearley away, he's outpaced Marginet trying to get back, but Ryan Brearley will score in the corner. And from one end to the other in the 80th minute, and that is a try out of absolutely nothing for Ryan Brearley. His prolific try-scoring form continues. Featherstone 6, Lee 14.
Yeah, right down the touchline in front of us, wasn't it? It's Sykes, who's been heavily involved of late, been moved from the centre into the half-back role. He just floated out a pass, really read it perfectly, and he just sprinted fully 95 metres down the touchline. In the last 5 metres, he even dropped down a couple of gears, still had another gear left to go into, and scores in the corner. And that's the icing on a very, very big cake for Lee Centurions this afternoon. And to put it into a boxing terminology, we've seen a heavyweight against a lightweight, haven't we? And there's always only ever going to be one outcome when that happens, and it's happened today, that Lee have just been too big, too strong and too good.
Andy, tough day. Scoreline don't really do reflection to the effort your lads put in today, does it?
Not the first half. I thought, second half, we didn't give in, but we made it a whole lot easier for them to break us down. And I thought there was some sort of poor decision making on the edges, and our middles didn't really control their ruck speed in the second half. So I'm not sure it were 40 points better, but they went in at half time probably thinking they were happy with a close game, and going down the hill they rolled us, didn't they, and played it very well.
Paul Rowley said they completed 17 of the first 18 sets in the second half. It's tough to compete with that, isn't it?
It is, because we only got 10, so it does make it very hard. But we did it to ourselves, because if you're kicking off after tries and giving two penalties away, that gives them three sets straight away, and that made it very difficult. So, and they're a good outfit, we know they are, but we've got to be smarter than that. We've got to be better than that, and we've got to have a bit more pride than that, I think, as a group. Going in at half time at 6-4, I don't think the thought the job was done or not, but it certainly wasn't, and we knew Lee were going to come back at us, and they did, and we didn't handle it very well. So we've got a lot to work on, but we've played the best two teams in the league now, both at home, and they've scored 40 points on us, so we know where we're at, and we know we've got to do a lot of work to match them and get where they are, and we need to be up there. And I thought some of the boys played well today. It wasn't all bad. Again, I thought Paul Wood was great for us. Sam Irwin moving around positions a little bit, but I thought he was good as well. And, Sharpie, not his usual self, but still had a good game out the back for us. So, we've got a bit to work on. And the first half, the forwards were looking good. Second half, we definitely didn't turn up.
You lost Andy Ellis to a leg injury. What's the problem with him?
He just got a dead leg, so he was sort of wanting to go back on, but he wasn't right. He was limping up and down the touchline, so we had the opportunity to move Remy, move Sykesy back into the halves, and move Sam into nine, which we did. We're looking a little bit at next week as well, once they started scoring on us. I think Andy will be all right.
And looking at the game, first half, do you feel you should have put more points on the board?
Yeah, I thought we had some opportunities to probably at least one more try we could have scored, but some of our defence in the first half was outstanding as well, because they had some opportunities. And even in the second half, some of our defence, we stopped two tries over the line, chased back on another try. And it's disappointing that we can't back that up for every set and every play. And some guys are clocking off in the middle or around the middle, or some edge defence wasn't there, and they went straight through untouched. And there's a sort of a very disappointed change rooms there, knowing that they haven't done a good job.
It is, in fairness, they're a full-time outfit, aren't they? And is it just a question you just had too much defending to do that second half?
Yeah, I think defensively, I wouldn't want to make an excuse that they're full-time and we're part-time. We've had a good off-season, and players need to be better than that. When you've got that weight of possession against you, you're always going to struggle. And teams get on a roll, and it just becomes a mountain to climb, and that's what they did. And I questioned the decision for two short kickoffs at the end of the game. I'm not sure a player of that calibre who's had that much experience is kicking off short kickoffs at 36 points to 6. So we've got to be a bit smarter as well. And that's, you've got to put yourselves under pressure if you don't control games. And we've seen that so far this year.
Yeah, you've got the big two, if you like, out of the way now. So I guess now you have got to start turning it on against the teams around you, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, it's exciting to play against the top teams, and there's been an excitement here all week, and probably a little bit of nervousness as well from the group. And we have had the big tests at home, and both Bradford and Lee are good quality sides, and you know, we know where we are, or we know what we need to do to probably get where we want to be. It's more the case. And I feel once we, you know, get into the swing of it now, we've got Whitehaven away, a tough trip up there in the Challenge Cup, and then we're back into the league with a game at Dewsbury away. So two big and tough away fixtures. But we've got to build some sort of form now and get our performance going. And hopefully we can get some guys back from injuries and build a bit more consistency within our lineup as well and team selection.
It's obviously a brilliant win to come here and get any sort of results. Fantastic. So to be so dominant on the scoreline is fantastic as well. But you know, we made hard work of the first half. We was our own worst enemy. We didn't apply field position when we could have done with our last players. We're really disappointing. But we learned to be patient in that second half. I think we completed 17 out of 18 at one point. And you know, history tells us to beat teams like Featherstone, we need stats like that. And that's, you know, that's aggressive. That's aggressive play and an honest rugby league. So we're delighted with our second half in particular. But we earned something in that first half. But our body language was still good, and I thought Featherstone wasn't, you know, perhaps as good and as positive and confident as it should have been given the amount of possession that they'd had and field position.
You just seemed to grind Featherstone down, really, didn't you? I mean, and then you got the chance to express yourself with some of those really exciting long-range tries.
Yeah, we wanted to, you know, we want to play fast, and I thought Featherstone did a wonderful job of slowing us down. Frustrating, really, in that first half, and you know. You know, we weren't quite happy with we thought that we were worth a few penalties, but that's the beauty of being at home. And you know, you don't get much here at Featherstone. Everything's forward and everything's offside. So, but that's the beauty of being at home. They're a good set of fans and fair play to them. But yeah, we got our opportunities. That's what I spoke about, being patient. We were patient in that second half, and when we got the opportunity to play fast, we took it rather than trying to force the issue.
A great impact from Fui as well. You seem to be using him really well in those spelling techniques.
Yeah, to be fair, our subs all did a good job today. I think our forwards in particular, we rotated them quite regularly today, and you know, whether they were coming under in a defensive smothering act and really knocking the Featherston team and you know, doing a job, and then some of the other boys like Sambalo and Furry come on and have some fun obviously with the ball in hand. So yeah, I thought everybody to win it, it's got to be a team effort, and today was certainly that.
And that first chunk of five games at the beginning of the season to beat Bradford, Featherston, Halifax, the results you've had have been absolutely great, haven't you? You must be so thrilled.
Yeah, and we spoke about that five-game block, you know, in camp at the beginning of the year. So to be five games in now and unbeaten is brilliant. But it's by no means playing sailing. We won't be dropping our shoulders and thinking the rest is easy. And the results show you that in the tussles that have been on around the league today. So, but nevertheless, we've played and took some big scalps, and we'll take some pride out of that. And you know, that'll take us into, you know, a bit of a different week next week, obviously with the Challenge Cup tie.
Any injuries today?
Bumps and bruises, but I think we've come through unscathed.
Thank you.
What a refreshing sight it is to come and watch your team, Paul. You play some lovely rugby.
Well, we try to, and sometimes to our own undoing, you know. And so, like I spoke about being patient, but yeah, you know, we believe the ball's there to be thrown about, and we show a lot of energy at times, and it's quite hard to defend because if we don't get you on one side, we'll get you on the other, and if we don't get you there, we'll get you up the middle. So it's just about everybody finding a role and being honest and playing with energy.
Any concern at half time behind, obviously going down the hill second half?
Not overly. We're fully respectful of Featherston, so we know the hill isn't a God-given right, and you know, it's not going to give you points. But in saying that, I thought the way that the game was going, it did favour Featherston in that first half, like I said, regarding the rucks. So you know, we improved our kicking game tremendously, and you know, we certainly got the field position, and I don't remember Featherstone having too much territory in that second half, and our boys, like I say, we look far more energetic for large periods. We spoke about Featherstone and trying to, you know, we thought they'd go eventually, and you know they went a little bit sooner than we expected, to be honest.
And looking at it, as I said, 5 wins out of 5, you've had some big games early on. How do you assess the opening 5 weeks of the season?
Yeah, it's been obviously very rewarding, very good. It's interesting this year because whilst I look at that and look behind us, I'm always looking forward as well. And you know, when you see your likes of Dewsbury and Batley around the corner and Workington and all these teams, it's a daunting task ahead of us. But nevertheless, it's one that that we'll embrace and we'll challenge ourselves. But again, I stress this most weeks, we still feel there's a lot to improve on. And a little bit more, you might find it hard to believe, we're a confident bunch, but we want to have a little bit more belief in what we do. And we'll continue to try and express ourselves even more than we do now.